Despite a decline on Wall Street, the Taiwan Stock Exchange rose 0.58% on Wednesday, closing at a new record high of 19,499 points. The TAIEX also touched an all-time intraday high of 19,532 points. Tech heavyweight TSMC rebounded from early losses to close at 735 NT. The market also welcomed a new member to its $1,000 club. Stocks that trade for four digits or more now include chip equipment supplier Grand Process Technology. Since the start of the new lunar year, the TAIEX has surged by 1,300 points. Taiwan says it won't allow group travel to China after June 1st unless China allows group travel to Taiwan. The Mainland Affairs Council minister said a unilateral reopening is off the table because it would widen Taiwan's tourism deficit with China. The minister was speaking at the legislature on Wednesday when Taiwan's upcoming ban on China group travel took the spotlight.
Did you communicate with China after they adjusted the flight route? Just answer yes or no. Did you communicate with them? Of course we did. The problem is that China meant to interfere with Taiwan's affairs out of political considerations, and that's why it made such a decision.
Following China's unilateral change to its M503 flight route, a KMT lawmaker urged Taiwan's Mainland Affairs Council to continue to reach out to Beijing. A DPP lawmaker asked about the impact on Taiwan's aviation safety.
The unilateral change to the M503 flight route once again put China closer to our own flight paths. How is that different from the encroachment seen since the Jinmen-Xiamen maritime conflict?
The lawmaker said China had shown malice by changing the M503 flight route and by continuing to ban Chinese tour groups from visiting Taiwan. In response, Taiwan's transport ministry recently suspended group travel to China. The lawmaker said the ministry must provide support for affected Taiwanese businesses.
There are 4,038 travel agencies in Taiwan, according to statistics from the Tourism Administration. Agencies that offer tours to China account for 404 of them. That's less than 10%. We need to help travel agencies move their eggs out of the one basket. China has yet to show goodwill. In the 3 months from March 1st to the end of May, some 4,000 tour groups totaling 100,000 people will go to China as planned. But starting June 1st, we'll have to see what kind of goodwill China shows us.
The Mainland Affairs Council said that before the pandemic, Taiwan had a wide tourism deficit with China of 6.6 billion NT. If Taiwan allows tour groups to China, but China won't reciprocate, the deficit will only become worse.
The labor minister has apologized for her racially charged remarks about Indian migrant workers. In an interview last week, Minister Xu Mingchun said Taiwan will first recruit workers from northeastern India because, quote, their skin color and dietary habits are more similar to those of Taiwanese. She said furthermore that most people in that region are Christians. The remarks were condemned by Indian media as well as ruling and opposition lawmakers. At a legislative hearing on Tuesday, the minister apologized for creating a misunderstanding.
Perhaps because of my imprecise choice of words, my comments created a misunderstanding. Of course, that's led to some turmoil. I have engaged in deep self-reflection and want to apologize for causing the misunderstanding and turmoil. What I want to make clear is that our migrant worker policy has always placed a high value on human rights. We aim to bring in migrant workers on the principle of equality. We also respect India's rich and diverse culture. On February 26, we were informed by the Foreign Ministry that Taiwan and India had reached an agreement. Pursuant to Article 12 of the Conclusion of Treaties Act, we will report to the Executive Yuan within 30 days. Thereafter, the agreement will be submitted to the Legislative Yuan for reference to keep all parties informed. That is where we are in the process.
The minister said that many details of Taiwan's recruitment plan have yet to be finalized. These details include the exact number of Indian workers permitted to enter Taiwan. She said the recruitment plan will start off on a small scale and expand based on the success of the initial trial. Vice President-elect Shelby Kim has her own custom commemorative coin featuring a cat with the words peace, strength, and resilience. She had the coins made when serving as de facto ambassador to Washington to exchange with U.S. officials and organizations, but they arrived too late for her to use them for their intended purpose. Instead, she says she'll be giving them away in Taiwan to a carefully chosen few.
Peace, strength, and resilience. 善貌消美气.
Vice President-elect Shelby Kim shared a meal with the legislature's Foreign and National Defense Committee on Tuesday. It was also Legislator Wang Dingyu's birthday, and Xiao came prepared with a gift.
Next time we meet, we should shake hands while I hold this in mind to show how much I cherish this friendship.
Xiao's birthday gift drew the envy of other lawmakers at the table. It was a custom commemorative coin made by Xiao at her own expense. One side shows a cat with a paw in the air. The inscription reads, Peace, Strength, and Resilience in English. The other side shows a Twin Oaks estate in Washington, D.C., along with Xiao's name in English and Chinese. In a post on Facebook, Xiao said that as a U.S. diplomat, she received many commemorative coins from individuals and organizations and wished to reciprocate with a coin of her own. So she commissioned a design depicting a cute yet powerful cat. But amid the tides of political change, she found herself back in Taiwan for the election before the coins were completed. As the coins are limited in quantity, she plans to give them to visiting dignitaries and members of the Foreign and National Defense Committee. The rest she'll hand out after careful considerations, she said.
We all wanted one very much, but only the birthday boy Wang Dingyu received one. She said that there are 100 coins, and the rest of us in the Foreign and National Defense Committee will be among the first to receive them. I'm very much looking forward to getting my hands on these coins hot off the mint. The idea is to convey a sense of diplomatic friendship. In the U.S., several top generals and military officers follow this kind of tradition, so I appreciate the introduction of this concept to Taiwan.
A former U.S. representative, Xiao is expected to bring new political customs to Taiwan's presidential office.
The annual Wanjingshi Marathon will kick off again on March 17th. Before the run, New Taipei City has unveiled a series of events to be held at the New Taipei City Government and Xingzhuang Gymnasium. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang takes us in for a look.
The annual Wanjingshi Marathon will kick off again on March 17th. Taiwanese runner Zhou Tingying and celebrity Vicky Huang will both participate in the race.
I feel very honored to be able to participate in the 10K because all runners in Taiwan dream of running the Wanjingshi Marathon. I hope that I can run the 10K slowly and that everyone can follow my pace. I set a goal. I hope to run the race in 55 minutes. The goal is, of course, to run faster than the previous three races. I hope to run the full marathon in less than 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Before the marathon, the New Taipei City government unveiled a series of events. At the lobby of the New Taipei City Hall, there will be three exhibition areas allowing visitors to draw lots, take photos, and play a few fun games. But that's not all. On March 14th till the 16th, there will be a running expo at Xingzhuang Gymnasium.
Before March 17th, from March 14th to March 16th at Xingzhuang Gymnasium in New Taipei City, we'll be promoting the sports industry through the Wanjingshi Marathon. Whether it's the popularization of sports or athletic accessories, technology and tourism, all this allows us to drive economic growth in Wanjingshi.
The New Taipei City Wanjingshi Marathon is the first and only IAAF silver label road race in Taiwan. It was upgraded to gold label in 2017. The race will kick off on March 17th at Fei Cui Bay in Wanli District. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Yang Kai in New Taipei City.
30 students from Germany have come to Taiwan to join a semiconductor training program organized by TSMC and governments and universities in both countries. The program aims to cultivate tech talent in the field and get them acquainted with Taiwanese culture. The students will complete a semester of semiconductor courses in Taiwan and proceed to a summer internship with TSMC.
Stakeholders, please put your puzzle.
National Taiwan University President Chen Wenzhang and Germany's representative to Taiwan, Jörg Polster, attended the inauguration ceremony for a Taiwan-Germany Semiconductor Talent Training Program. 30 students from three German universities have come to Taiwan for a semester in NTU Semiconductor Program.
They said that more than 100 students applied. In the future, they could potentially work at TSMC or other Taiwanese semiconductor companies. If they do that, they'll have to have some knowledge of our culture and speak the language. In the program, they'll be taking classes with local students.
The importance of semiconductors here in Taiwan, and TSMC is going to Dresden with a new fab, so there is a very much a reason for this program to start now.
Last year, TSMC announced a fab in Dresden, Germany. After the announcement, Dresden University of Technology coordinated with 11 universities to send students from Saxony to Taiwanese universities, including NTU. NTU offers 8 semiconductor courses. During the summer, the students will go on to do an internship at TSMC's Newcomer Training Center.
Interested in semiconductor industry, and this opportunity was just amazing to visit Taiwan for 6 months and to have the opportunity to do the internship at TSMC.
I'm really excited. Taiwan Jianji is the biggest exporter of semiconductors in the world, so as an electrical engineer, this is the greatest chance we can get.
Saxony is a hub for microelectronics. This year we sent out 30 students, and the next year it will be even more.
TSMC's German plant is set to start construction by the end of the year, with mass production slated for 2027. The new Taiwan-German study program hopes to nurture global talent for the semiconductor industry.
Another Taiwanese food brand is going to America. Following the footsteps of Cha Time and 85C Bakery Cafe, Taiwan's J&G Fried Chicken plans to open 3 shops in California this year. It's even partnering with 85C to offer chicken and hand-shaken beverages under one roof.
In this business venture, we will integrate aspects of local food culture. For instance, we'll offer products like fried chicken sandwiches and burgers, along with hand-shaken beverages, which are already quite global. We will integrate these product combinations into our menu.
The U.S. food scene could see another Taiwan brands in the near future. Yongqing International, which is also known for its fried chicken, plans to open a store in Los Angeles in the second half of the year. Chain restaurants Thai Town Cuisine and Zhujian plan to open their first U.S. stores within 3 years. Pokemon Go players, take note. The popular mobile game will hold a city safari event in Tainan this weekend. Participants will be able to catch rare and limited edition Pokemon all over the historic city. But be forewarned that it's set to be a busy weekend. The event coincides with the closing of the Taiwan Lantern Festival, so nearly all Tainan hotels are fully booked.
Augmented reality mobile game Pokemon Go is holding its first city safari event of the year in Tainan this coming weekend. In past editions, landmarks all around the city were packed with players. This time around, the event hasn't even started, but Pokemon trainers can already be spotted all over.
I'll be taking my daughter around with me to visit the sites. The event covers a bigger area this year, which should be good for making catches. If you want a shiny Eevee or an Eevee with different hats or appearances, you have to take part in these events to catch one. You'll be able to find Skiddo for the first time in Tainan. There's also Bufalant, which is usually only available in New York. These Pokemon will all pop up in 2024 in Tainan, and I hope everyone can find some time to come and catch them.
On offer in Tainan are Buffalant and a limited edition Eevee wearing an explorer hat. Organizers have also planned 30 routes featuring tourist sites in Tainan. The event coincides with the last weekend of the Taiwan Lantern Festival, and hotel occupancy is close to 100%. Some players say there are simply no rooms available.
We're fully booked on Friday and Saturday. We've had inquiries streaming in since mid-February. Since the Lunar New Year, Tainan has hosted many events, big and small, so our occupancy rate on weekends has stayed quite high throughout. This weekend, occupancy is at over 90%.
Hotels report that occupancy has remained high since the Lunar New Year holiday. Restaurants also say business has been good. One has even been called up by Pokemon Go players inquiring about its business hours.
This weekend is a closing ceremony for the Taiwan Lantern Festival, so it will be crowded everywhere. Many travelers and customers asked us a week or two ago whether we'd be open this Saturday and Sunday.
Tainan's hospitality sector is bracing for big crowds over the weekend as Poke fans from all over try to be the very best.
Professional wrestling has a long and glamorous history in Japan, where it's seen as a benign spectator sport for young and old. Now, the Pro Wrestling League in Japan's Kyushu has gained its first ever Taiwanese wrestler. Jet Wei fell in love with wrestling as a university student. But finding out that chances for career advancement in Taiwan were limited, he decided to make the move to Japan. Now 27, he's going from strength to strength, although, as he told us, it's not been an easy journey.
Jet Wei jumps on his opponent's legs and flips him over, then smashes on top of him. It's all done in a matter of seconds. Jet Wei is the first Taiwanese pro wrestler to work in Kyushu, Japan. These practiced moves are the fruit of 9 years' work. At first, Jet Wei was just determined to follow his dream. He didn't realize initially just how tough the career would be. At one point, he was close to giving up.
When I first started training, I couldn't even do one push-up. Once I tore a ligament in my right shoulder during a match. It was so painful that when I tore the ligament, I couldn't lift my arm up. When you get an injury like that, which has an extreme impact on your daily life, it really makes you think about things.
His parents never opposed his career choice, but Jet Wei felt he couldn't complain when he got injured. Taiwan's wrestling scene doesn't have the large commercial matches you see in Japan, and social prejudice, which labels wrestling as violent, is a headache even for professional wrestling coaches.
For example, when we rent venues, sometimes they'll reject us because our events don't quite match with the image they want to put out about their venue.
This arena, a key training ground for Taiwan's pro wrestling talent, is tucked away in a corner of Guishan Industrial Park. It's only available for training when its official owners are on a break. Once a month, a tournament here provides Taiwanese wrestlers with a rare chance to strut their stuff.
Pro wrestling isn't a sport like boxing or normal wrestling where the goal is simply to get your opponent on the floor. In pro wrestling, you have to tell a story. We're showing the world that in Taiwan, in such a tiny island country, we can have wrestlers who can compete with the world. That was always my dream.
Now, Jet Wei is pursuing great things in Japan. As he makes his dreams a reality, he hopes that he will bring Taiwan glory on the international stage. And maybe one day he'll bring his beloved work back home to Taiwan.
A beloved photography store in Kaohsiung is closing down after almost a century in business. The store in Qishan District was founded by Zhang Yuehan in the 1930s. It weathered many developments in the world of photography, being run by three generations of the Zhang family. Now, as the second generation owner celebrates his 90th birthday, many of the store's faithful customers have turned up to say goodbye.
Zhang Yuehan came to work in Qishan District in 1933. He began by painting portraits, then started researching photography after the Japanese brought in cameras. He bought some Japanese equipment, read up on the field, and built a reputation in Qishan.
I came here after graduating from junior high and learned to mix the chemicals from my father.
The photography store was the center of the family for three generations. 90th birthday celebrations for Zhang Shoudao have brought the family together and even provoked pilgrimages from faithful customers.
It's so moving because there are hardly any Taiwanese photo stores left, and this one has a special history. From my dad's black and white era to me with my color photos, and now color has become camera phones, and now it's all gone. My dad created this place single-handedly, so of course I feel nostalgic. When they developed the film at Mr. Zhang Shoudao's place, the final water rinse had to go overnight.
From the days of developing black and white film to color and automated development processes, the store has now landed in the digital age. But the arrival of camera phones was a death blow.
Although it's getting pulled down and rebuilt, I think the biggest heritage that Grandpa left us was faith.
The store is pulling down the shutters for the last time, but the many films it created leave an indelible record of life in modern Taiwan.